Hello, I'm Lori McGinley with Kaiser Health News, and this is Health on the Hill, our weekly discussion of healthcare policy news. Joining me today are Mary Agnes Carey of Kaiser Health News and Noam Levy of the Los Angeles Times and the Tribune Washington Bureau. Well, Mary Agnes, on Thursday, as you know, is the six-month anniversary of the healthcare reform law. What should we expect from the administration and the other supporters of the law?
It's going to be a whole lot of events, a lot of focus on explaining these provisions to consumers and to the public with hopes that they'll build even more support and interest in the public for the law. President Obama is going to meet with the state health insurance commissioners. They're critical to the implementation of the health law. Something like 200 groups all over the country that back the bill are going to have sponsor events in their states and communities to talk about it. Lots of members of Congress are going to have conference calls and put out press releases and maybe have some events in their districts and states to talk about health care reform, because they really want to bring focus to, as you mentioned, the six-month anniversary and a lot of the provisions that go into effect.
And Noam, what should we expect from the Republicans and the critics of this law?
Well, the Republicans are planning to roll out their agenda should they reclaim the majority on Capitol Hill on Thursday. At the same time, we expect to hear a bit about health care in there as well. We've sort of heard the kind of critiques about the problems with the bill, they've talked a lot about protecting seniors through Medicare Advantage. We've heard some Republicans, like Paul Ryan, in the House, talk about even more radical changes to Medicare. So I expect that we'll hear kind of some of the same critiques, although I expect that also they may not have to do that much work. A lot of the issues that have been in the news about rising premiums and so forth and the sort of nuts and bolts problems of implementation have sort of played right into their message without them having to do very much at all.
Well, they've been talking a lot about trying to repeal the law or make significant changes in it. What's their strategy, and do they have a chance of succeeding?
Well, it'd be very hard for them to repeal the law, obviously. I mean, they would have to presumably have two-thirds majorities in the House and Senate, which even by the most optimistic projection for Republicans seems unlikely. But one of the things that they certainly could do is go after provisions of the law, and there have been talk about doing this by either attaching provisions to funding bills. I think abortion is probably an issue that I'm sure will reemerge. You could see changes to some of the implementation regulations that could be dictated through appropriations bills should they have the majority. So I think we'll get a better sense once January comes about how they're going to do it, but there are targeted things they could do.
What are some of the other things the Republicans could do short of repealing the law?
Oversight is a big area for them to mine. You can simply call up, have Don Berwick come up to the Hill, the head of Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services. You could have Kathleen Sebelius, the Secretary of HHS. She's certainly been on the Hill, but have her up more. Look at the regulatory process as you're talking about. Really focus in on those things. Have some discussion about the individual mandate, for example. They may not necessarily be an oversight hearing, but Republicans could use, if they have the majority, the committee process to have hearings, have discussions, focus in on things about the law that they find unfavorable, and even if it isn't a repeal of it, they can have a steady drumbeat of negativity, if you will, leading up to the 2012 presidential and congressional elections to make their case of why they dislike the law and what they would do differently.
Could you tell us a little bit about the provisions that are going into effect on Thursday?
They include things such as keeping your adult child on your policy till age 26 unless they could get coverage through a job. No discrimination on coverage for children up to age 19 if they have a pre-existing medical condition. No lifetime dollar limits on the coverage that you have. Other provisions that kick in, including no deductibles or cost sharing for some preventative services, covering immunizations at no cost, and direct access to a pediatrician or a gynecologist or obstetrician for patients. It's all a set of consumer-friendly, if you will, provisions that consumers can look at and try to understand how the health law may or may not benefit them.
Noam, there's been a bit of a flap about the insurance companies deciding not to sell child-only policies in many cases. Could you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, this kind of goes to this broader dance that the insurance industry has been doing with the administration ever since implementation. When the bill was passed, some of the senior folks in the insurance industry said, we plan to implement it, we want to support it, we're going to do everything we can to figure out a way to make this successful. One of the provisions in the bill, which Mary Agnes mentioned, which would end pre-existing exclusions for children. This is this practice which got a lot of attention during the debate, in which insurance companies deny coverage to people who are sick. That is going to end for everybody in 2014, but Democrats in crafting the bill wanted to provide sort of one extra benefit early on to children so that sick children would be able to get coverage. Now, the problem is that there's nothing in the bill that says that insurance companies have to sell child policies. It just says if they do sell child policies, they have to take sick children. Now, the insurance industry has said, and probably with some merit, frankly, that if you only get sick children signing up, for these parents signing up their sick children when their children get sick, you will have an adverse selection problem where only the sick children go on the books. That drives up costs, as we've seen in some states that have had guarantee issue for everybody. You get people essentially buying coverage on the way to the hospital, and that has an adverse effect for people who are not sick. So interestingly, there's a debate now about should there be an enrollment period so that you can only enroll your kids during a set number of months. If you do that, then you sort of have some control over what the risk pool looks like for sick children. The problem is that it's not explicit in the law whether that mechanism should work. Now, this is obviously extremely arcane, but I think it goes to this issue of sort of how important the smallest little detail of how you regulate what insurance companies do, when, and to whom actually works. So we're going to allegedly get some additional clarification from the administration about this enrollment period issue, which may help clarify this. You know, it's another hiccup in the what will probably be years of hiccups of implementing this bill.
I want to ask you one more question. As we head to the November elections, the Democrats have had a hard time getting traction in terms of using healthcare as an issue. Do you think the events of this week will make a difference, or is the problem that despite the fact that the recession has been declared over, that people are still in such economic distress that will overshadow the healthcare issue?
Well, I mean, I think the economy absolutely will be the top issue in the elections. Talking about provisions in the health law certainly can't hurt. Consumers may find this very valuable. And I think the success or failure of the health law is really as individuals view it and decide whether or not it works for them individually. This could help in the Democrats' hope that people feel that way about the law. But I think when it's all said and done, economy is issue A.
I think that's right. I mean, I think as people see the benefits of the bill, certainly those people who enjoy those benefits will probably view the bill more favorably. But the problem, I think, is that for every person who, every senior who gets a check when they hit the donut hole for their Medicare Part D, every parent who's able to sign up their 25-year-old kid, there probably are two or three or four Americans who are continuing to have a headache with the healthcare system, most prominently with cost. People's insurance premiums are going up and up and up. A lot of that, most of that probably has nothing to do with the healthcare law. But from a political standpoint, I had a colleague of mine who said he was back in California last week talking to his sister, who has voted Democratic her entire life, voted for Barack Obama. Her health insurance bill went up 20%, and she was raving mad. She said, I'm not voting for Democrats again. So that's a problem, and I think there's nothing Democrats are going to be able to do about that in the next 6 weeks.
Well, thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.